Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? I want you to think for a moment about your full strength. Let's just talk about your full physical strength for a second. Now, Brother Tim, coming off of your surgery, you're probably not feeling the full strength, are you? Not quite willing to go out there and start flipping tires and bench pressing. That's not how you bench press, I know that. But you're not quite there. But think about your full strength. The best you can physically do. And when you put everything in it, sometimes you even surprise yourself that maybe you're capable of a little bit more than what you anticipated. Now, I have heard this passage of Scripture oftentimes referring to just your tithing and your giving to church. What I want to focus on this morning, though, is the idea of holding back. I try not to pick on my kids. I don't do a wonderful job of it, but I'm going to pick on them again. I like to wrestle with my kids. You may have an opinion on that, but I like to get down on the floor and wrestle around, right? And they love it, and I love it. Now, what scares me is when the little one starts bringing weapons into the game, and you're not prepared. I'll be over there fighting the tall one. I'll have the middle one over here by my other hand, and here comes Gideon with a giant Nerf mace or something to get me from behind. I'm severely outnumbered. But when you're wrestling with children, you don't use your, I'm sorry boys, you don't use your full strength. You don't give it all you have, right? I might sit there and just kind of push their face. Right? If you found out that at home I was just, you know, it was a full-out wrestling match and I'm smacking them into the ground, you'd be concerned. Right? What are we doing? We're holding back. We're pulling our punches. We're being gentle. We're showing a restraint in our strength. Now, we're going to move away from the topic of wrestling with children because otherwise this next statement's going to be mean. We ought not to develop the habit where we're not full strength in serving. What we give ought to have everything we have behind it. Now, I want to look very clearly at this illustration. Verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what's being implied here is this idea of this is all I have. This is what we're giving. And we can kind of pick that up because later on, it was Peter who says, you know, while you had it, was it not yours? And after you sold it, was it not yours? So why is it that what you would produce would be some kind of representation of the best you can give? Now, again, not just using the connotation of money here, let's look back at our strength. Think of all the things you're good at. Now, don't be humble. Think about it. I'm not going to ask you to say it so you can think it, right? What are you good at? Have you practiced that for the Lord? How much effort have you put into the thing that you're talented at? Now, how about this? What about the things you're not talented in that the Lord requires of you? Have you put enough effort into that to develop that further? I told you guys the kind of what I did to Danielle here and my confusion over the difference between the organ and the piano. Now, I'll say this. You are a wonderful musician. She's gotten better at this. I think the jitters are wearing off. I think the wonderful things are happening. But her best friend told me a couple weeks ago, good job at getting her out of her comfort zone. That was hard for her. I will forever be in her debt for that, in the way many husbands are to their wives for saving them. But you think about that. You get up, maybe there's something you're not so confident in, so you put the effort in, you put the time in, you put the work in. I don't know all that goes into having to be better at that, but she's doing it outside of her comfort zone. And that's an area we've got to stray into to get better. I can think of a dozen things in my life just like that, that I just, you know what, Lord, I could probably do it, but I haven't put the proper effort into. The thing that we have to realize is that when God thinks of you, He does not hold back. He cares for your growth. He cares for your well-being. He cares for your family. He cares for all of your concerns. There's nothing you go through alone. He does not hold back from you. So what must then be reciprocated is that we do not hold back from Him. Today's message, holding back. Point number one, everything you have is from the Lord. Now many of us, either you're out there in the parking lot or you're in here already, you made a decision this morning, you got up and your body didn't hurt too bad and you were able to breathe just fine, so you got into your vehicle and you made it here. Whether you're out there or you're in here, you made it here. That is a blessing, because there are going to be some folks this morning who could not get out of bed. There would be some folks that would have loved to have been with the people of God this morning, but for health reasons they couldn't do it. Right? There could be somebody sitting at home right now with a car that just would not start. They've got good health, but they got a vehicle that wouldn't do it. Right? They would love to have been here. Everything we have is from the Lord. And for those that are struggling at home, when the Lord finally heals them, they get over that sickness, or the car finally starts, they could praise the Lord for that too. Because for whatever reason, He's got them going through a certain thing right now. Everything you have, He's given you. Whether it's the family sitting around you, the church family sitting around you, the warmth in this building, isn't it good to walk in and be warm? Isn't it good to wake up and be warm? These are all wonderful things that we could too easily take for granted. Your money, your home, your stuff, those are just things. They are easily given and they are easily lost. We need to be grateful for it. And in that, if I sit there and think, you know what, it boggles my mind that as God is holding the earth where it's supposed to be, and He's got everything going on, and He's deeply concerned with your issues, He's also deeply concerned with my issues. That not only am I able to eat this morning, but we're allowed to maybe put a little cream cheese on the bagel. You don't just have bagels, you got cream cheese to go with it. Just a little extra blessing. Isn't that great? God just gives over and above. But all of it still belongs to Him. You could wake up tomorrow, lose your job, lose your home. You could lose a lot real fast. You could. But you know what you'd still have? You'd still have the Lord's love, His care, and His compassion. Think about Job. What He took away, He gave back. Right? That's how easily things can come and go. But it's the Lord's provision in your life. It is His care and concern that pushes you through those things. Right? Isn't that what Job said? Job sat there and pretty much said this. The Lord gives to us. He takes back from us. I'm going to bless Him anyway. Praise His name for all the things that He does for us. So that when we're sitting there and we're looking at our sum, or we're looking at our allot, or we're looking at our extra, we need to understand that that all belongs to the Lord, and we ought to live in a way that shows we honor God for what He has given us. You know what He has given you? He's given you your personal abilities. He has. I'm going to be honest with you, I've never seen this before. On Wednesday, I'm sitting up here, I'm going, blah, 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 sign up sheet, blah, blah, blah. We said amen on Wednesday. Everybody jumped up and grabbed a hold of something. And they're like, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Nobody had to sign the vacuum cleaners out. Nobody had to coerce anybody into doing anything. There was just a beeline over to the cleaning area. And then everybody was doing stuff and it was fantastic. So you'll forgive me if I don't put out a sign-up sheet. It seems like we all got it figured out. But we may put out a list of things that need to be cleaned. But you know what we need to have? We need to have that heart in every church in America and every church in this world that says, you know what? You've given me the ability to throw a vacuum around. I'm going to throw a vacuum cleaner around. You've given me the ability to stand up and give a devotion, and whatever your assessment of your ability to do it is, doesn't really matter. We'll work with you. There's men that have been doing it for a while. I've had some training in this. We'll help you out. But if you've got the ability, let's go do that. All right. And again, it is that heart to use what you have to good use. I was supposed to have my eyes closed. I didn't during prayer time. Please forgive me for that. But there was a scenario where all my kids were trying to behave their best. But of course, that little Melody, she doesn't care. She starts crying. There's people over here. There's just people coming over, and then there's people coming over, and then there's people who are starting to get up. And it's just that's the heart that we have, and I thank you so much for that. Normally we're used to being surrounded by people in our family. I'm not used to a church family just diving into stuff like that. Again, Flat Rock is filled with great and wonderful people, but you guys just look for opportunities to do stuff, and that thrills my soul. But we just have it. Hey, you know what? I'll hold the baby. While they're up there doing music or whatever, I'll hold the baby. I tell you what, I'll vacuum the floor. I'll give the devotion. I'll take out the trash. I'll shovel the snow. Whatever it is, Lord, you give me the strength to do it. Here are my two full hands, and I'm at it. Well, brother, what if I don't have my physical strength? Well, don't get discouraged in the Lord because you don't have physical strength. There are a ton of other things that you can do. Right? You folks, I wish I could tell you what this gift means to me. But that didn't take a lot of physical labor, did it? You know what you did to me with just a stroke of your pen? And so, and you guys teamed up on some of those things, just writing your name on them. You know how much that means to me? You know what that would mean to each other, us doing that to each other? Hey, thinking about you, praying for you. How you doing? Sending a card, showing that love. It doesn't take a lot of energy to be a blessing. And I've often referred to men or women who are on their deathbed still giving that gospel. It doesn't take much. What you have, you ought to give. You know what? Your brain is a powerful thing. You ought to give it to the Lord. Well, brother, my brain doesn't do it. No. Don't kid yourself, all right? You can do stuff. I've met a lot of people. They're not necessarily book smart people. But I tell you what, if anything was going wrong in my house or in my car, they were the people I would go to. Had my father-in-law over at the house. He was looking at my books. He thinks I have too many books, he's told me. No, way too many books. He doesn't need that many books to do what he does. Right? If I have a problem with the car, if I have a problem with the house, if I have a problem with his daughter, I just give him a call. And he sets me, let me finish. And he sets me straight, okay? And he sets me straight on it. Is he book smart? No. Is he one of the most intelligent men I know in my life? Absolutely. Right? Could he sit there and proofread something for me? No. Could he save me millions of dollars on house damages and repairs and car repairs? Absolutely. There's different kinds of intellect. I've got a friend right now, you know, grew up in a very devout, very faithful family of intelligent people, book smart people. And he came out, he doesn't profess to be a book smart person. You know what he does? He'll spend hours in the church just working on something. He'll sit there and see something that's not going quite right. He'll look at it and go, that's what I'm going to do. Right? We don't all have the same kind of intelligence, but the Lord gave you smarts. The trick is to find out what kind of smarts he gave you and put it to use for him. That's the trick. You also got to keep that brain clear and clean. Make sure everything is right. Make sure everything is going the exact way that it's supposed to be. You need to be learning. How much do you put into your education as far as scripture knowledge? I think about these kids. Hey, pay attention. Hey, I'm talking about you. How are you going to know I'm talking about you if you're sitting and wiggling around? Think about them. You know, for their school, I mentioned this in Sunday school. Their teachers are mean. They've got like books of verses that they've got to memorize. That's tough. When was the last time you've committed more than a verse to memory? Well, brother, I'm of a certain age. Yeah. Yeah, you are of a certain age. What are you going to do? You've got all this wisdom, all this knowledge, all this time. When was the last time you put yourself to that kind of effort? If we were to have a certain class, let's say we were to have a discipleship class where we go over some common basics, would you be there? Right? I've done that. I've gone to classes where I could probably have taught them. and I still got something from him. Would you do it? All right. How's your Bible study? Not just your Bible reading, but how's your Bible study life? What's that like? Do you have a plan? Are you working the plan? Are you behind on it? Me, I've got a schedule I try to stick with as far as Bible reading. Now, my life has gotten just a little bit busier as of late, so every now and then I fall behind. So what would be your advice to me who's fallen behind on some work? Well, brother, you better make some time and catch up. Where are you on that? Are you catching up? Are you in the part where you're developing a plan? What are you doing with this? Because you already know what's going to happen. If you leave it to sit, it's going to sour, won't it? You do nothing with this, you'll become complacent. Just another drone sitting in front of a screen and just spacing out. We've got enough people in this country and in this world spaced out. We need some people with their hands on the plow. We need some workers, some people who are doing things with their brain. Do things with your talents. Do things with the things that you know you can do. Do things with the things that you're struggling with. It's perfectly okay to see what somebody is doing something and ask them, hey, you know what? You seem to really have it together the way you put your devotions. Is there any way I could talk to you a little bit how you come up with that stuff or what you study or what books are good? Hey, come see me. I'll give you a hand with that. Come see some of the men if you're struggling. We had a moment with the Sunday school teachers down here. We just kind of had a moment where, hey, this is what we wanted to do, and we had several more minutes of us just talking about how we do stuff. That was a very valuable time, where we just get together and we put our heads together to share our talents, share our points of view on things, that we can all just be a little bit better. Why? Because we're doing this for the Lord, right? Everything decently and in order is the way that He says things should be done. And I tell you what, if I push against you and you push against me and we all push together and we're all striving together, we can get better with our talents. We can get sharper at things. And how great that would be. Here's another thing. Another thing you ought to give, and this is probably the hardest thing that people find to give to the Lord, give Him your time. Oh, what do you mean by time? Give Him your time. Well, brother, I've got this to do and I've got that to do. Hey, you know what? I have found that there is a way for you to balance a good Christian life with a very busy, active, secular life, whether you're at work or you know, of course, the divine covers everything. There should be no separation between serving the Lord and working at work. But there's a perfectly possible way for you to remain busy in your day-to-day and be busy spiritually. And the trick is to do what I just said. You don't separate them. You keep them together. I'm going to clock in this morning, and today's business is going to be conducted as though the Lord is watching me, and I'm trying to impress Him with it. All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop sitting there staring at my phone. I'm going to stop staring at the television. It doesn't matter what the Channel 4 news says anymore. Let's go ahead and take this time and invest it in Scripture. You know what? While I'm out here fishing, let's go ahead and take a prayer list along with me and all the things that we want to pray about. And while I'm out here pretending I'm going to catch something big, let's make this a time between me and the Lord. Let's take that time. We get so busy doing so many different things. One of my favorite things, and you know, I'll drive up here every now and then. Why? Brother Smith, you said this to me before. You just like being in the building. I like being here. I do. I like that room over there. I like the chair. Anybody ever sit in that chair? Don't ever take that chair out of there. We did that to my pastor one time. We surprised him with different furniture. Don't take that chair out of there. I don't know whose chair that was. How long has that chair been there? Brother Titus? So 1,000 years from where I'm. But I love being here. Do you love being here? I love being here. I'll drive up here, and it is a little bit of a drive. I never whine about it, because when I make that drive, you know what that's opportunity for me to do? That's time for me to listen to a sermon. It's about an hour and a half, so a Baptist sermon. Right? You get about halfway here, around the last point. It's wonderful. And you get that time to pray. Take the opportunity. Much like how many of you serve the Lord here in this church, look for a way to spend extra time with the Lord. Just find ways. My aunt was telling me, I kind of giggled about this. My cousin ordered groceries from Amazon. Now, if you do that, that's your business. But my cousin is a college student who's a little strapped for cash. Now, when I was in college, $20 got you through 2 weeks of life. You learned how to live on $20 on groceries, and if you had it, it was wonderful, right? You go to Kroger, you get the dollar deals, you eat a lot of mac and cheese, you eat a lot of ramen, but you can do it. But to have it delivered, that just boggles my mind. How on earth does a college student have that kind of money? Your mom's a retired teacher. There's no way you've got money right now. It's all budgeting, right? In my head, like the brain that does budgets just goes, it starts to growl. How do you do that? We budget our time. At least we ought to. Anytime I'm in a situation where I'm dealing with a coworker or an entire office that is stressed out, most often than not, the problem is time management. Where's the workflow? How are we approaching the workflow? Many of us, we've got no idea how much time goes into what different thing. We're just kind of there. We're just going through the motions. Are you aware of where all the seconds are? Where all the minutes are? How much time do you spend in front of the television? How much time that could be spent holding nothing back from God? See, you know, Lord, I got about 5 minutes. I hope you've got 5 minutes to spend with me. He always does. But I got about 5 minutes. I want to talk to you. Hey, Father, we got a car ride coming up here. You know, I want to talk to you. We did this. We made it the whole ride up here. I didn't even turn the radio on. I don't think anybody minded. We just silent for a little bit. For as much as you can with a car full of kids, just quiet. You need that time. You need that time of silence with the Lord. We need to be to point number two, giving. There's a way to give your all, but to give it all wrong. Let's look at these folks here again. Verse 2, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. What they did is they kept back. And again, I strongly see the connotation here that they were lying about how much they had given. Oh, we're giving it all! But we're not. You know what I've learned? So much of religion is faking it. So much of the people out there, and this may offend some folks, maybe not in this room, but it would definitely offend some folks out there, they're participating in things just because it makes them look a certain way. And I'll say this, how many people have completely dropped any kind of their Christian facade just because it's not as popular today as it was back then? Like all back when it made you a good person, you were a holy roller. You went to the first self-righteous church of the refrigerator. You were there every Sunday. Your dad was a deacon. You're definitely going to heaven. But nowadays, people drop it left and right. They don't want to know. They don't want you to know they go to church. They don't want you to know where they go to church. They don't even want to talk about that. They hold back. Or you could be in a perfectly good sound church. You could be a member of one of the Lord's true churches and still be holding a part of yourself back. I mentioned this in Sunday school. I kind of threw him out there too early. Ravi Zacharias, they just released some really scary information about him this week. Ravi Zacharias, not a sound person, not a sound theologian, but a very accomplished apologetics person, where he just wrote about arguing with people about as to the existence of God. Did a lot of research, did a lot of writing. Came out that he had some very disturbing pictures. Now, I don't know all the details of it. For me, like I said, I get to a certain point, I'll stop reading something. I'm like, I don't need that affecting my soul today. I got the gist of it, I'm gone. That's all I need to know. That's it. Now again, speaking to the point that, you know, if you've got somebody who doesn't have sound doctrine, you really can't expect a lot of them. But let's pretend for a second that Mr. Zacharias was a Baptist, somebody who was truly saved, someone who was a member of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. Let's pretend for a second that Mr. Zacharias was sitting right next to you. Let's pretend for a second that you were Mr. Zacharias. You know how you get into that kind of trouble? You hold a part of this back from the Lord. Now you think about all those people out there, they're so sad. I can't believe it was like this. I can't believe they found that. Oh, it's so sad. It's so... That's a person. That's a human being. Of course they're sinners. And I don't justify that. Of course we're disgusting. That's what we are. I don't mean that in a justifying way. I just mean that he's a human being. You worship him, you're going to find some bad stuff. Don't worship people. Don't worship these individuals. Yeah, they wrote 1,000 books. Yeah, they sold 1,000,000 copies. But I tell you what, that person could just as much have all the scary things in their closet that anybody else would. The only reason why some of these folks who are out there writing books under theology aren't in jail is because of the testimony they're stealing from the Lord. Oh, he would never. You hold back a part of your heart, you absolutely would. You would. Well, I tell you what, I'm perfectly okay with serving the Lord, but my Saturdays are for me. My Super Bowl parties are for me. What I do here is my business. What happens on vacation stays on vacation. When we go over here and we're away from the church, it doesn't matter what the pastor says. It doesn't matter what brother, sister, so-and-so says. This is what we're doing. You hold a little bit back, and that room tends to grow. Because the devil's not satisfied with a closet. He's not satisfied with a little square in your heart. He wants the whole thing. You give just a little bit of room for your flesh, and your flesh will tear down all the walls and take it all. Everything that man was, everything that people claimed that he was, every bit of just encouragement that he could have ever given anybody just went out the window. Why? Lack of integrity. He kept a part to himself. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold back. You don't hold back for the Lord. If I'm going to walk with him, I'm going to walk with him correctly. I'm going to do everything I can to get that sin out of my life. I'm not going to give place to the devil. I'm not going to give place to my own self in this. I am going to serve the Lord in the proper way. What I do ought not to be for posterity. What I do ought not to be to speak to my name. What we do for the Lord, we ought to do for him. And again, we look at these words. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? You know, you could fool a lot of people. You could. You could fool a lot of people. You could fool every person in this church. You could fool me twice. You can't fool the Lord. You can't. Because that's the thing, you're not necessarily lying to us. Who you're lying to about your relationship is the Lord. Right? We'll talk about this tonight, but you know, you think about families as we come through that door. You know, sometimes you sit there and things don't go so well, especially if there's a certain number of us. You guys are butting heads all the way here. You ever do that? Just butting heads. Can't believe you left the gate open. I left the gate open, by the way. I can't believe you did this. And your mom and your dad, and you did all this. And then you walk into the church. Hi, everybody. How's it going? It's good to see you. Oh, praise the Lord. He's good to us today. Oh, we're so glad to be here. Sitting there, you're smiling at the kids. Oh, you're so cute. I'm going to beat you to death. You put on that fake face. Why? Because I want you to see me a certain way. But I'm not lying to you. I'm lying to God. I want you to think I'm a good person. But I'm using God's name to do it. What a vile thing. What a vile thing that we would just be honest. Hey, listen, you know, we sold this piece of property over here. And this is how much we're able to... This is how much we're able to afford to give to this great work here in the book of Acts. This is, well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Well, listen, said, look how great we are. I want to lay it right at the apostles' feet. I want them to know how great I am. You're never that great. God knows who you are. He loves you anyway, but he knows who you are. Sometimes people will give in the heart and in the intention to get more. That's where that prosperity preaching comes in. I tell you what, brother, if you sow $500, God's going to give you 10 times that in 2 weeks. I've met a lot of people who sowed money and it never came back to them. Why? Because that's not how you ought to give to the Lord, and that's not how the Lord gives back to you. The Lord is not the stock exchange where you can put a certain amount in, wait it out a little while, and when the Lord has it, he's going to give it out. You know what those prosperity preachers are doing with that money? They're buying fancy suits, they're buying jumbo jets, they're buying brand new cars. That's not going to the service of the Lord. That's going for that preacher to get a foot rub from somebody who's charging $1,000 an hour to do it. All right, that's where that's coming. That's where it's going. Somebody told me this. They knew of a church in their area that, because people tell you stuff when they find out you're, you know, when I became a pastor, I found out people just want to tell me stuff about all the bad stuff about all the churches they've ever known. So, well, there's this one church, they've got millions over different accounts in this bank. There's millions of dollars. I go, huh. I go, the church I just came from, I could tell you exactly where every dime is going. We got a little saved up for this or that, but we put money over here to this missionary. Well, when this happens in the church, we take care of that. But it's not about making money. We're not a business. We're not a commercial church. Right? It's not about, hey, if I give the Lord a certain amount of money, I'm going to get a certain amount out of it. That's not how giving goes. You know, you sit there and you're looking at your bank account and you go, you know what? The Lord gave me a little bit of extra here. You know what, Father? Here you go. Thank you so much. And what the Lord does is what He's always done, not because of your gift, but because of His goodness. He sees moments where you need a little bit of extra and He works out that it's there. Why? Because He loves you. Why do I give? Because I love Him. All right, let's stop talking about money. Let's start talking about time. You know what, Father, you gave me the afternoon here. What can I do for you? Father, what can I do? You know, it's been a while since I've caught up on my reading. You know, it's been a little bit of time since, you know, I've spent some quiet, private, alone time. Let's do that this afternoon, Father. Let me give that to you. You know, I'm feeling kind of wiry today. I'll run the vacuum. You know, just whatever it is. You know, Father, you've given me this energy. You've given me this ability. You've given me this opportunity to serve you. I'm going to dive into it. Again, not because I think I'm going to get something out of it, but one, because it needs to get done. Two, because you love the Lord. Actually, let's flip that. One, because you love the Lord. Two, because you've got the opportunity to do it. You ever see opportunities to do good things? Lord put you there for a reason. Get into there. Do something about it. So there's somebody said this just at random, and it was like, it was just beautiful. Sitting there, somebody said this. Well, I really don't even understand what being saved is. They said that around me, Brother Gunnels. They said that around me. We were sitting at work. I was in the other room. I heard somebody say it from the other side. Dove right into the room. If I was the Kool-Aid man, I'd have taken the wall out. You live for those moments. What are we talking about? Why are we talking about it? Do you know you're talking about it while I'm here? What a great time to talk about it. Let's go. You know, the Lord gives you those opportunities. You hold nothing back. Well, I'm tired. Well, I'm drinking my coffee. Well, I'm putting my boots on. Well, no. You have the opportunity. Why would you hold back? Stop wrestling with the devil like you're wrestling with a child. Stop wrestling with your flesh like you'd be wrestling with a child. You take the kid gloves off and you get to work. Really do some business. Take what you ought to do and put your whole heart in it. Number three, why you should not hold back. One, because Christ held nothing back. I'm glad in all the blood that He shed and all the sacrifice that was made, it didn't stop in the point of history right before me. That'd be a big bummer for me. right up until 1990, nobody else is getting saved. That'd be awful. He gave everything. He gave it all. Right? He gave His whole life. Whenever I've needed Him, He has been there. And I anticipate that in the future. You know what? And I anticipate oftentimes feeling disappointed for a second just to realize that He had a better plan and being completely in love with that new plan, even though I never thought about it before. That's what I anticipate with Him. Why? Because that's what He keeps doing to us. The Lord's blessed you in your life. You've come to realize that He holds nothing back from you. I like to ask this question. Anybody here, there's a point in your life where you should have died, but you kept going? That's a scary thing. That could have been it. You know what the Lord gave you? He gave you more time. Now, in our mind, it's more time. To Him, it's like, no, I always plan for you right here. I'm not ready for you yet. You stay down there. You know, but just to us, it's more. You've taken care of me. You've given me things that I could never anticipate having needed. Only a full commitment will do. I look at some of these apostles, some of these people in the book of Acts. You know what they would have loved to have had? They would have loved to have had the full story, wouldn't they? I tell you what Moses would have done with the book of Revelation. what the people in the book of Acts would have done if they had the book of Acts. Wouldn't that have been helpful? Wouldn't that be neat? You're just sitting there one day, the Lord gives you the whole story of what's going to happen in your life and then in Baptist Church's future. Just, there it is, you got it. That'd be awesome. It's not going to happen, but that would be awesome. They would have given everything to have what we have. We have so much. If I'm struggling with a sin, it's in this book. If I'm struggling with an attitude, it's right here. If I need to learn something, it's right here. We've got this, us together. None of us fights this alone. We've got each other in this. We have everything we need to serve God. There's not a thing we lack. Only a full commitment will do. If you had all the tools, you had all the knowledge, you had all the ability to do something, and you shut the door on it, and you walk away. That'd be a lot like having the cure for cancer, putting it on a bottle and putting the bottle on your shelf and walking away. That would be like knowing you could build something amazing. You've got the plans all drawn up in your head, but you leave your tools to spoil and rust. How sad that would be. Are we spiritually letting the tools we have rust? Are we waiting for other people to come by and use them better than we can? That's not what God has called you to do. He's called you to service. Put everything you have in it. Well, how do I know if I've given everything I have? Are you just a little uncomfortable? Are you just a little tired? I'll tell you what, we're trying to do both things. At the end of the night, I get properly tired. I struggle with that for years. Sometimes I'll just get to the end of the day. I'll stay up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because my brain's still trying to go. Nowadays, I'll go to bed right on time. It's nice. A proper kind of tired. Are you a proper kind of tired at night? I've heard somebody, they sing a song about that. It's called a good tired. You're tired, but it's for a good reason. You did a lot of work today. You accomplished a lot of stuff. Checked a lot of things out of the box. You're good tired. Are you good tired at the end of the day? When you sit there and you look at the things you're doing, are you improved than what you were yesterday? Because if so, you're giving your all. Keep giving. And when you get more to give, when you get better at it, when you get faster at it, awesome. Do more. I've said this as an illustration. You know what? I'm really not all that great at reading the Bible. Okay. All right. Well, how about this? Read 5 verses today. Well, that's really hard for me to do. Good. Read 5 verses today. I tell you, I've been reading 5 verses every day. It's getting a lot easier. Perfect. A whole chapter. A whole chapter? A whole chapter. Good. Now read 2. Now 3. That's what we do. We put ourselves into it. We get better. We get faster. When we get better and faster, we do more. Because now what used to take me 15 minutes, right, only takes me 5. So now I've got a whole 10 more minutes to deal with. Do something with it. Right? You're good with 15 minutes? 15, go a half hour. Do more. Put more effort into it. The same kind of rules that apply to getting better physically apply spiritually. Put effort. Practice. Grow yourself. Push yourself into uncomfortable territory to grow in the Lord. Hold nothing back. It doesn't mean go broke. It doesn't mean give every dime you have. The Lord's never asked for you to give every dime you have. It doesn't mean that you ought to give so much time that you start to have family issues. It doesn't mean that you ought to live in the basement of the church, although I understand some folks have hoteled there in the past. It doesn't mean you got to move into the church and never leave. I think we can strike a healthy balance, don't you? Where I can give the Lord as much as I can and still have not just a healthy life, but an even more healthy life for it. Because I tell you what, I find I have a lot more problems at home when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord. I have a lot less trouble at work when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with the Lord. It's when this gets off, and everything's off. If I put the Lord in the proper priority, everything else falls into a better spot, and everything works a whole lot better. So it doesn't mean that you ought to go broke, have family issues, and move into the basement of the church. What it does mean, though, is what you do it full-heartedly. With everything you got. You know what? Praise the Lord while you're doing the things. Doesn't matter what it is. Get excited. We used to go door knocking. We had an intensely Catholic area in Flat Rock. And when I mean intensely Catholic, I mean if they could put you up on a stake and burn you, they would. They're just angry people in this neighborhood. And I don't know if they, I don't know what, if it was just something in the water, if they all were breathing the wrong kind of plant that was growing in the area, but they were just like, it wasn't just shutting the door. Okay, bye-bye. No, it was like an Olympic event, the slamming of the door. And they were taking home gold, silver, and bronze. Just, Baptists! And just slammed it. They did that one time. Oh, Baptists! And they slammed it. And you're supposed to feel upset about that, and that's supposed to scare you a little bit. But something about the look on the person's face as they went, oh, Baptists! And slammed the door made me laugh. And you're not supposed to do that on the porch, I was told. You're not supposed to laugh at that. If that was a ringtone, I would use it. Just, But, you know what? You get frustrated at that stuff. Don't have to. Do it full-heartedly. Have some joy in it. Well, you know, it's hard work. Yeah, you can have joy in hard work. I know some of you in this room, you're hard workers. Whether it be in the office, out in the field, you retired, or you're still at it, you've worked hard in your life. Did you have an immense amount of joy while you were doing it? Yeah, hard work doesn't have to be sad work. Hard work can be some of the funnest work. It can be some of the best work, right? For those of you, you're young, you've got those jobs. You've got those jobs where sometimes you have a few moments to just kind of sit there. You know what? That's nice. That's good. But you know what? Some of us, we didn't get those opportunities. We're always grinding at something. Don't feel sad because your hands have to work harder. That's the best moments. For me, it's always sad when the phone don't ring. The phone's not ringing. That makes my day last forever. If there's nobody to bother me, I'm not bothered by anything. Now I'm bored. Oh, so people used to come into work all the time. I hate to bother you. No, bother me. You're the first person I've seen in 20 minutes. Let's get in here. Can't do that with COVID, but get it, bother me. And that's my advice to you folks. You know, I've already kind of heard it. Well, I don't want to bother you, Pastor. Bother me. Bother me. You know how much joy I get out of being here looking at you folks doing this stuff? You know how much joy I get out of doing this, talking to you? There was a moment we were leaving on Wednesday. Brother Charlie stopped. We were talking about the message. We had the Bible open. Bother me with that all day. Please. Let's do that. That's fun for me. Hard work is fun work. Not that this is necessarily hard, but we ought to have joy in serving the Lord. Not only should we be full-hearted in what we're doing, but we ought to be pure-hearted as well. Keep the sin out. Be doing it for the right reasons. Serve the Lord for the right reason. Right? One of the nicest things you could ever do is to do something and claim no recognition for it whatsoever. That's for the Lord. You see that? That was done right there? You think about the Lord when you see that was done. That ought to be our heart. It was for the Lord, and it was for you to give honor and glory for the Lord. Don't even think about me. That's about God. Next thing you ought to have is you ought to have some energy to it. Energy is a hard thing to come by. Sometimes I wish I could grab a hold of some of these kids, just charge my batteries off of what they've got. There was a vest or something that you could put on. And as you moved around, it would charge your phone. It would just kind of take the whatever kinetic movement, and it would charge your phone with it. I could light a whole city block with this row right here. I could just keep that thing running all the way to the rapture. I really could. But we may not have a lot of energy, but the energy you have, put it into it. Put some effort into it. My pastor taught me this. Whatever you're doing, do it first class. And that was my first real forays into serving the Lord was in the children's ministry. And he would always tell me this, Matt, whether you have one kid in there or you have 100 kids, you do it the same way. You do it as though you're doing it for the Lord. And that'll be our heart for everything. Some excitement, some joy, because you know what? We ought to have a deep love for the Master. Everything we ought to do ought to reflect how much we love him and how much we respect and appreciate his love towards us. Well, brother, what do I do? Well, what you need to do is you need to look at your relationship with the Lord right now. You need to look at what it is he's called you to do in your Bible reading, in your Bible study, your work in the Great Commission, your role as a church member. Well, I'm not anybody important. Are you a church member of Home Missionary Baptist Church? And you're important to the Lord. You're important to all the people sitting around you. Well, I don't have a great title. It's not about titles. I tell you what, one of the best things you can do in a church is just have no titles. All we have is responsibilities. Brother so-and-so, this is his responsibility. And then brother so-and-so got a little busy with that, so we took that responsibility, we put it over here. Sister so-and-so, she always does that. But in the meanwhile, she's also teaching these people over here how to do that. It's all about responsibility here in the church. That's really all it is. Well, I don't feel very important. Well, you need to get closer to the Lord. He'll change that. Get closer to Him. He'll change how you think about your position here and here. You're one of the children of God. Maybe it's just me, but I never sat there at my house going, you know what? I bet my dad loves my brother more than me. I never had that. He was irritated at both of us equally. We ought not sit here in the Lord's house and go, you know what? I think the Lord loves so and so more than He loves me. Because I tell you what, the same amount of blood it took to forgive so and so, it took to forgive you. The sacrifice was the same. The Lord sees us all the same. Now, in a way, that promotes a great amount of personal accountability there, with the understanding that every sin is the same in the eyes of the Lord. But at the same time, every child is the same in the eyes of the Lord, too. And isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. We ought to have an immense love for the Father. Immense love for God in all three aspects of who He is. So that when it comes down to service of the Lord, it's much like what I would see on Wednesday. Oh, there's something to do. Because there's not a care or concern I have where God doesn't do the same thing for me. Except maybe without the, oh, because He knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. Let's serve the Lord out of gladness. Let's serve the Lord with a full, a pure, and an energetic heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank